The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Shut up and turn the radio on.
Put the radio
on. Turn the radio on.
Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
It's Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays.
Wish everyone a very happy holiday.
Happy. Happy Holidays.
Wishing you a happy holiday.
Well, this is what the holidays are about. Family.
Happy Holidays.
It's the season to be merry.
Happy Holidays, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy Holidays.
Showtime!
Down to
business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the best moderate liberal talk show west of that Mississippi River. We are the Gateway to the West, hailing from St. Louis, Missouri, and we appreciate every single one of you guys. Can follow us at theqnow.com. That's the website. Old episodes, new episodes, all the good stuff in between, as well as follow us on Twitter at theqnow or, iTunes, all that good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a huge show today. A year has passed since Sandy Hook and some people think a conspiracy is still around. We will discuss Pitchfork named their album of the year, but I really feel it's not a fair assessment. I have my own top 10 list of albums of the year, as well as pro wrestler and comic book aficionado Bolt Brady and Jordan, his lovely, lovely wrestling partner over here, have decided to join us to discuss everything that we throw at the two of them. They are definitely here to do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome
to the show.
As well as we have producer Bobby always in the background, making our lives beautiful.
Absolutely.
Always making our lives beautiful. Buckle in. It is our Christmas show, and we have a present of amazing audio to tickle yours. It's time for the cue. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's not do this. Producer Bobby, obviously, how have you been?
I've been awesome, man.
You've been doing good?
We got to have a little fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
And I'm just doing good, man, except for this crazy, thing called Christmas coming up.
Holiday season that you're dealing with right now.
Yes.
Well, we have two guests, as I definitely did describe there in the opening. One, Mr. Bolt Brady. Welcome to the queue, sir. Oh, hold on one second. Say that again, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, there
nice
we go.
To be here.
Now we can hear you. God, I'm unprofessional over here. I don't even know what I'm doing here. And I've been doing this for freaking 20 years.
Oh, it's all right.
Jeez.
My first time, so I don't know any better. So.
You've never been on the radio before?
No.
This is your first time?
As long as you don't tell me that you're messing up, I won't know.
No, fair enough.
I just think that's how it goes.
Fair enough. And, of course, you brought a very interesting female wrestler with you by the name of Jordan. Jordan, what's your last name? I'm sorry.
Grace.
I was going to say Grice for some reason, but...
Close enough.
No, I don't want to get that wrong and stuff. So, thank you so much for coming, too.
No problem. I had no idea I was going to be on, actually.
Listen, why not have you on? You know what I'm saying? You guys, this is what you guys do for a living, right? You entertain the people.
We do.
Yes, we do.
That is what you do. And now, let's talk a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about your career.
Alrighty.
Both of you guys, as well as we're going to talk about some of the other things. Comic books.
Comic books,
you are
absolutely.
A huge comic book fan. That's huge. One of the main reasons I asked Bolt to come on.
It's initially what got your eye. I am a Marvel guy. I will say that.
I know
my DC basics, but I'm a Marvel guy.
Now, we technically are a political-based radio show, yet at the same point, because of my career in professional wrestling and entertainment in general, we like to play around a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like we
right.
could, and it's Christmas time, right? You know, we can't just be beating people over the head with political mumbo jumbo all the time. You know, sometimes you got to give them a break.
Right.
You know, and this is the best break I could give them.
That's what the news is for.
Somebody who can talk about some comic books. You're a Marvel guy.
I am, absolutely.
And I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a Marvel guy or a DC guy specific, because I'm not a real comic book guy, you know?
Right.
I think one of the things we talked about on your Facebook post, and that's where what caught my eye to have Bolt onto the show. I met Bolt before. We actually had dinner together, if I remember correctly. Were you at the Applebee's when we sat down at Applebee's?
He
was sitting there, and I think you were there too. When we
was I
with Elgin
yeah.
and
yeah.
And all that?
Okay, yeah,
I
remember now.
Jordan's like, yeah, sure, I was there.
I was
wherever he was. So
yeah. Fair enough. But it was his post about comic books. He was talking about a comic book situation.
Yes,
I just kind of jumped in on the conversation.
You did.
And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the most in-depth when it comes to comic books. It's never been like a big part of my life by any means. But I'm that guy that's perfect for comic book movies.
Exactly. Oh, because that's what the movies are for. It's to get the mainstream. And, you know, every once in a while, you get a few mainstreamers to actually come in the shop. And they're like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Which
fans always complain, oh, they're always relaunching. Well, they're always relaunching because, you know, movies are always coming.
Well, also, if I remember correctly, just a few years ago, they zeroed out every single DC? Was it DC or was it Marvel?
Well, first DC did it, and then I was like, ha-ha, and then we did it too, and I was like,
Yeah, I understand. And so my thing was is that, like, they do that because it had been a 50-year story arc on some of those comic books, and, like, to get back 50 years is a little difficult. Some of those books are expensive.
You run into a lot of continuity issues, and then on top of that also, it's just it's like a fresh start. Because there's people who do want to start comics. It's just, it's kind of hard to jump in at like 479. That's intimidating.
Very, very much so. Plus, if you're at 479, like, there's 478 things that have happened.
Right, and they
prior to that, which is a little difficult to keep up with.
They make references to them constantly.
Right, so there's just constant throwback to stuff you might not even realize what happened.
Exactly, which, I mean, it's kind of cool to read comics from the standpoint of, if you know that's happened, you read the story a different way. Whereas if you don't, it still makes sense as long as you're like reading that six story arc.
So real quick, by zeroing out what you just said, Mark, basically, let's say Spider-Man, they completely restarted Spider-Man.
Right.
From zero. Yes.
So why do you favor Marvel over DC?
I was just born and raised that way. Also,
raised, by the way, where are you from?
From Austin, Texas.
Austin, ooh, Texas, a town that over the last decade in general has like started to boom pretty heavily.
Yeah, I-35 really shows that. It's the traffic's hideous.
Do you think that it has a lot to do with South by Southwest, the festival? Do you think that that's what really kind of brought the eyes and the attention more?
You have a bunch of festivals there. You have South by Southwest, you have Fun Fest, you have ACL. It's a young city. It's the live music capital of the world. You know, a lot of the silicone contracts are going out there now. A lot of movie contracts are going out there. It's just a young, vibrant, it's a city of entertainment. So I think that draws a lot of people in.
You obviously are a big ambassador for your city. I like that. You know what I'm saying? You're a young guy who's
born and raised.
Born and raised there. Now, Jordan.
Yes.
You also are from Texas?
From Austin, Texas. Same place.
Same exact place. Now,
wow.
Age, what kind of age we got going on here? Jordan, how old are you?
18.
You're 18 years old.
No way.
Yes.
18 years old.
Yeah, she gets that a lot.
And what about you?
27.
27 years old. Yep. So you're older than Bobby?
No way.
Yes,
Bobby. I eat healthy. That's not true. I eat fairly healthy.
You do what you got to do.
I eat healthy, too.
You keep your system working is what you
say. People say we look the same age, like 23, 24, something like that.
I would say that, in that general range, which is great for you because you're like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm 24 years old.
It works.
And I can't really grow a beard. I can't really grow a beard, so I can never, like, get older. It kind of sucks because sometimes I want to grow a beard, but I just can't. I get like these annoying stuff
sometimes. That's part of my life too. Like, I am right there with you. I can't, dude. If I try to do what Bobby's got on his face right now, which looks horrible, by the way, I love you.
I'm shaving. I'm shaving anyway.
Guys, I'm the exact same way. I try to grow one all the time. I can't.
It just
doesn't happen.
I literally one time tried to do for my wife. I tried to do like the mustache and maybe some facial hair because she's never seen me with that since our first day of dating ever. And it took me about 4 months and I got like the side of his cheek. Like that stubble. That's the best I could do.
And at that
super
point,
light.
Like,
I was just like,
stop,
why
stop,
are you doing this? You know what I'm saying? And I understand, like, not to get serious, but I'm not like a real hairy individual anyway. You know what I'm saying?
My
hair is pretty light on my skin. So it's not like I just could look in the mirror and go, well, this is just not working.
Yeah.
I'm just like a gorilla up here. You know, it just wasn't going
to
happen.
It wasn't meant to be.
Do you shave? Besides, like, obviously, you can't shave
like
your face.
Once a week.
But do you shave your legs, stuff like that?
Yeah, do you shave your body for professional wrestling?
No, he has naturally hairless legs.
I am not naturally hairless. I shave, yeah.
You do shave your body for pro wrestling.
Yeah,
and
Jordan's face is, no, he doesn't.
Wow.
No.
It looks better on a poster.
No, I was just curious.
Some guys can pull off hairy. Like, 90s Michaels, epic.
If he was a swimmer, he'd be so fast.
Oh,
wow.
I used to swim.
She's got some digs on you, bro.
She does.
I understand.
She knows a bit of my history.
Fair enough. Now, so you guys are now in St. Louis.
Yes.
You live here now.
We do.
Yes.
What was the... First off, how long have you guys been wrestling?
First off, at 18, how did you make that decision
to move?
To come to St. Louis.
Well, like, I wanted to wrestle full-time, and this seems like a really good place to be.
Awesome.
Well, there is, we do have a history.
Yeah, I'm always curious why people, you know, you could have picked anywhere in the world. You could have picked New York City. You could have picked going to Tokyo.
I know, but Shimmer is only 5 hours away from here, and that's really where I want to be.
And that's what helps out about St. Louis. I'm getting back into the professional wrestling building or game because I retired a few years ago, kind of walked away from the issue. I had no choice, you know, some things that were going on in my life. But, you know, I'm kind of being brought back in by Dynamo Pro on some things like that, and I've been doing it since 1997.
Okay, wow.
Late 96, actually.
The good years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, we could talk about that in a minute. Yeah. So, you've been wrestling for how long?
8 years.
You've been wrestling for 8 years.
Yes.
So, since 2005. And what about you?
3 years.
You've been wrestling for 3 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, 8 years, man.
Yes.
I mean, 8 years into my career, I was about ready to retire. I was literally at that point. I had already broken my C1 and C2 in my neck. I'd blown out my right knee. And I had already been told by WWE I was damaged goods. They wanted to give me a contract, but it wasn't happening.
I had that like 3 years in. I actually took some time off and came back. So
did you? What was the injury?
I started 17. It wasn't an injury. Just I wasn't
burned out.
Yeah, burnt out. Completely burned out.
Now, what's the wrestling scene like? I mean, you gotta understand, when I first started in the business back in like 96, 97, the Dallas Sportatorium still existed. Like there was still a relatively bright wrestling past and history that was going on down there on the independent side. I didn't ever get to wrestle in Texas at all. So what was it like around the time you started? Like, was it a vibrant thing or was it really small and it's now built up to where it's at and that's kind of where you came from?
Around when I started, I started when I was 17.
Right.
Around when I started, it was a... I'd say Texas so big, there was more like territories. Like guys did travel and go back and forth, but it wasn't uncommon just for a guy to like, you know, move around Austin and Houston, never make his way up to Dallas really.
Oh yeah, now, people don't realize how big Texas is. I have a friend who lives in
that's one of the reasons we moved.
I have a friend who lives in Brownsville. And he explained to me that to get to El Paso is like a 10-hour drive state.
You can get to Canada before he can get out of Texas.
That's crazy. Like, that is nuts to think about.
That's why we left.
So, yeah, I mean, even, you know, a promoter does see you and he likes you. Then it's like, okay, well, we want to bring you out. It's like I'm in Texas. And that automatically is like, ooh, all the way from down there. Because you have to drive 8 hours. This is Austin. You have to drive 8 hours just to get out of Texas.
Now, you've been wrestling for 8 solid years.
Yes.
And probably over at least the last 3 to 4, a very consistent schedule of wrestling, like every weekend or at least a couple shots, maybe triple shots here and there. A
few triple shots here and there.
Right. So, like, that's a lot of working. And that's a big, like you said, it's a big city or a big area to be trying to do that in.
Right.
St. Louis, and that's why I was trying to get back to the St. Louis thing. I think it is a good move for you. Now, if you guys had moved to St. Louis 6 or 7 years ago, I don't think that would have been as good a decision.
It's very central geographically.
Right. Well, but 6 or 7 years ago, we didn't have that big of a... You had small organizations in St. Louis, but that was about it. There was nobody really going up to Chicago. There was... Like, you got to realize, once Steel Domain and all that shut down in Chicago and Windy City was done, there wasn't much going on up in Chicago yet, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't bringing ROH shows there until, 2007 was
2008 was one of the first ones.
In Chicago. Like, so they weren't even getting, like, so if you would have moved here back, you know, 7, 8 years ago, that would have been horrible for you guys.
I'm glad we waited.
Oh, yeah, definitely. definitely. Now, you said you've been wrestling for 3 years.
Yes, since I was 15.
Since you were 15 years old. What was it, just a love of professional wrestling, or was this
I loved it for a long time, but, you know, you can't really get into it until someone else gets you into it, and it was my ex-stepdad that actually got me into it.
Interesting.
He was an indie wrestler.
Took you into the shows, or he was in the business himself? Or
He was a wrestler on the indies at the time.
Okay.
And so I started training with him and all those other guys, and eventually... You know, I expanded and he didn't.
Fair enough. No, that's very fair. Now, have you wrestled for Shimmer?
No, not yet. Not yet. I've been trying to get on the shows since I got here.
Do we need to make a phone call? Is that what needs to happen here, Bobby?
I'm what they call pretty powerful.
Do it.
I can make some phone calls.
Do we need to make a phone call?
Do it.
Some of these people have been around the Midwest for a long time that run these organizations, and I've pretty much known and run into every single one of them.
I think he doesn't like me because I'm so young, and as you know, a lot of the Shimmer girls, they're a little bit older than I am and have a little bit more experience.
Right.
Well, fair enough, but everybody's got to start somewhere.
Exactly. That's what I think.
I understand that, and I respect that. Now, Bolt, where are you at in your career? Like, are you actively and aggressively attempting to make the move to WWE? Like, yes, is that something you really want to do, or do you just love the indie circuit? Like, you're like a Colt who just is like, okay,
I mean,
it was
like
cool,
wrestling,
but I'm good on this level. I'm fine.
No, I like wrestling, but I don't know if I could just like be in it just to like be satisfied just with like, you know, being the hometown guy, as they're called. And a lot of times that's in a negative light, but it's not always negative. But I definitely want to go to WWE. Everybody wants to retire with the Yankees. That's what one of my friends says. ACH.
That's true.
He describes it.
You know what? I can impart, as a guy who's been doing this many, many years, I can impart something to both of you that you're going, like, some honest to God information that is going to help you out.
Lay this knowledge down.
Are you ready? And you probably already know this.
Okay.
But it's always good to hear this from somebody, because sometimes it reminds you that that's important.
Right.
Work as much as you can. I don't care if it costs you out of your pocket. Work as much as you can.
Right.
That is the most important thing that you got to do in professional. See, I work Monday through Friday for Universal Records as a president in the music industry. And I basically am over the top of like groups like Little John and the East Side Boys and the Shop Boys with Party Like a Rock Star. And, okay. and a lot of hip-hop groups is what I'm over the top of. I came up in the St. Louis area with quite a few different artists that I had signed to, actually out of Houston, Rap-A-Lot Records and a few things like that.
Okay,
and so... there's a lot of correlation between that. And I tell these young hip-hop artists when I get on top of their project and stuff like that, work as much as you can, especially the young local guys that are coming up.
It's exposure.
You just work as much as you can. If it costs you out of your pocket, I understand. That sucks. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been there, too. I've slept in cars waiting to get into NWA Wildside and places. Like, I know exactly what it feels
I've been over there.
Yeah, you know, I know exactly what it feels like to work your butt off to get to where you wanted to in this business. And it's the same on the music side and the movie side as it is in the pro wrestling side. Just got to work as much as you can. And you guys are doing a great job. Like, I think that that's a huge step to move to St. Louis. And now, a lot of your friends from down there, I think I met a few of them. They're all from down that way, too. They all moved up here.
Yes.
Which, that helps out a lot, because it's not like you just moved to a fresh city, you know?
Yeah, that was another factor. We were kind of torn between here and Philly. This, like I said, first of all, this was a lot more central. And we kind of had like a support net here. People that had already moved up here. People that live here. We have friends from St. Louis.
And Philly was so expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
It's just East Coast. Cost of living's a little bit higher. But we had like someone, we had ACH, who is from Texas, who had moved up here and kind of done it. So we kind of had a blueprint to follow, so to speak, versus just like, all right, you're in one of the biggest cities in the U.S. Good luck.
Yeah. And for anybody out there who might not know, because not every listener of the show happens to be a pro wrestling fan, ACH is a professional wrestler with Ring of Honor.
Yes.
And a very successful professional wrestler at that, very talented young man, who also, if I remember correctly, is a very big comic book.
He is.
And anime fan.
Anime as well. Anime, I don't
I saw him I remember him goofing around over at the gym the one night, and he was doing some Dragon Ball Z type stuff.
Like Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, no, that used to be, he'll probably kill me for bringing up, but no, that used to be in his moveset for a while.
He used to do Dragon Ball Z stuff in his moveset?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, yeah.
That's
it's
pretty
one of the things that got him noticed, actually.
Yeah, his stuff against Akira Tozawa, they had a whole thing that kind of revolved around the Kamehameha.
That's how I guess. I don't know.
There we go. That's how bad my anime is.
I have no idea what anime. I know the names of some anime stuff, like Dragon Ball Z or Naruto. Yeah.
Naruto.
Is that okay? And then Cowboy Bebop?
How do I know more about this than y'all do?
Cowboy Bebop, baby?
Because you lived with Mikey.
Okay. Yeah, you lived with Mikey, who's amazing. We love Mikey. Everybody loves Mikey. Come on now. Duh. So, all right. So, cool. Well, you know, we're going to do this thing we call... Did you do your homework like I asked you?
I did.
We're going to do this thing here in a little bit when we do Game On, Game Off, which is a new section we do on the show, basically where we tell people to get away from something, you know?
Right.
Stop on this thing this habit that everybody... Like, a few weeks ago, mine was hipsters. Get off being a hipster. You don't need to be no hipster, okay?
Don't move to Austin.
Why not?
You know what? Let's discuss.
Austin, Texas.
Let's talk about the hipster thing. Listen. Do you guys think about this? Think about this. Do you think there was anybody in the 1940s walking around with leather dusters and like side shooters trying to emulate people from the 1880s? No. No, there wasn't. There was nobody.
But do you know that for a fact?
There was nobody. Well, okay, maybe there was one or two, but it wasn't like a cultural phenomenon.
Right.
Okay, by any means. There wasn't anybody in the 1980s or 1970s. Okay, well, in the 80s, there was a couple like the Stray Cat, stuff like that. But there wasn't anybody running around in the 1970s trying to grease their hair back like a greaser from the movie Grease back in the late 1950s. Everybody lived within their own time period, and they would like, oh, I'm going to dress like a disco king from the 1970s at Halloween time. Now it's like, I'm not happy in 2013 with our life the way it is, so I'm going to do everything in my power to dress like I'm a guy with a banjo. Wearing leather
chaps. The 70s are pretty cool.
To find new ways to entertain ourselves, and that's what entertains us.
Do you think that's what it is? Because these people live a style, though.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
I think it's hilarious to watch myself. There's a disclaimer here. I'm not a hipster, but I think it's hilarious to watch these people.
Right, but you don't ever look at that and go, just stop.
No, you know, I never think
I've
that.
Lived in Austin so long, it's just like...
It's a part normal. Of, it's absolutely
it's
normal.
Yeah, everybody's got like the Sarah Palin glasses on, you know, the thin style.
The motto of Austin is keep Austin weird. Yes. So.
Well, but okay. But that's the Austin thing, you know? It's to keep it weird, okay?
Right,
so they have their own vibe for that city specifically.
Yes.
But this cultural phenomenon of hipsters is well past Austin.
It
we
is.
Are well past Austin.
It
we're
is.
Like, we're walking in Seattle and they're doing it. You know, the Mumford and Sons are in the Arcade Fire are kicking in the background all the time. Their banjos and stuff. And like,
70s
is
a cool time period. You know, I wasn't there for it, but it looks cool.
Well, that's not the 70s, though. All the hipster stuff is throwback to the 30s and 40s.
30s,
like
40s
like
and 20s.
The Dust Bowl, right. like when people were during the Great Depression. That's the whole, you know, the whole idea. What was the movie that had George Clooney and all of them in it where they break out of jail and it's all that style of music and stuff. I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's almost kind of where
you're talking about.
It's almost the throwback to that. That's where that whole vibe comes from. Is that
whole Gas House Gang.
That whole Gas House Gang thing, yeah. So, you know, I think it's just, how about we just be who we are in our time period? You know what I'm saying? And then like 25 years from now, who's going to be running around? Like, okay, it's going to be tough now because look at the young people in our time period now. They're throwing themselves back to the 80s with the way they're wearing their Jordans, their kicks.
Now, the
80s
was cool. I was around for the 80s.
Well, yeah, the 80s was great. I started high school in 90. You know, I was graduated by 94, so like I literally was born in 76. I became a teenager and
Ninja
grew
Turtles
up
kicked off.
And oh my god, dude, I was
but we don't
Inspector
have,
Gadget.
Dude,
like,
I was 12 years old when the Ninja Turtles hit, dude.
The 2000s don't have their own identity.
That's
the
problem.
They don't.
That's that we don't have an identity, and I think that that's going to be a huge hindrance on us. I think 30 or 40 years from now, that lack of identity is going to bite us in the butt because people are going to be like, well, you know, I dressed like a hipster. You know, I did the hipster thing. And it's like, okay, but that's just a throwback to another time period.
Right.
Why weren't you comfortable in your own time period?
I wouldn't be comfortable in my time period if, you know, it was defined by Nicki Minaj.
Look at professional wrestling. Hey, no, I'm not knocking professional wrestling, but let's look at professional wrestling for just a real quick second before we hit the bottom of the hour here. If everybody just tried to, like, look like King Kong Brody, and everybody
Bundy.
Tried to, like, well, no, Brody. You know who King Kong Brody is, right? From St. Louis?
Oh, okay.
Well-known guy on the NWA side, stuff like that. Kind of looks like Jake Durden.
Oh, okay.
Jake probably gets his character from Brody. But, like, it's that style. Like, if everybody tried to throw themselves back to dressing like Bobo Brazil, you know, like, that would just look odd to other wrestlers. And they'd be like, what are you doing, man?
I don't know. People see these pants and they think they're awesome.
Well, fair enough.
I was trying to figure out what they were when you walked in.
Giant Gonzalez.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. We've got Bolt Brady and Jordan Grace along with producer Bobby. We will be back on the show. Check out theQ.com during the break. We'll be back after this.
Show me how to lie. You're getting better all the time and turning all against one is an art that's hard to teach.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, joined today by Bolt Brady and Jordan Grace, professional wrestlers hailing from Austin, Texas, living in the St. Louis area now, as well as producer Bobby. And we're having a great time here, just kind of talking about everything. A little bit of everything going on here.
All over the board.
Little
Man, that intro song was great.
That
I
wasn't,
don't know if...
Have you ever heard that intro song?
No, I haven't. But now that I hear
Never?
It, I'm just like,
you might, you like it. You want to use great. It? You should use that. You should use that sometime.
You should come out to that.
You should come out to that. That'd be really interesting.
Oh my god, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing if you did. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've been talking a little pro wrestling, a little bit about the backgrounds of these two young athletes here in our studio.
Up and coming superstars.
Up and coming superstars here. But we've got some game on, game off to do here, and I guess before we do that, let me talk about this thing last night.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys mind if I divert for just a second?
Go for it.
Do you guys like roller derby? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking
Remember
about.
Remember when you were a kid, roller games that was like pro wrestling, but it was right. roller derby?
Yeah,
it was
on, like, it's on wood.
Yeah, exactly. Back in the day, okay.
I remember watching it on CNN. Or was it
CNN? You used to watch that on the news network?
TNN.
All right, fair enough. So here's the situation. A few weeks ago, Mike Barcell, the owner of the WINI radio station that we are on, 1420 WINI, as well as 1280 AM KYRO, which you're listening to right now, and other assorted stations throughout the United States, he called in to challenge me, guys. Can you believe that? He challenged me.
He cut a promo?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay. It's a good build.
Yeah, he tried, and then I cut a promo right back. If you get a chance, just go download the show and listen to it. It's really entertaining to listen to us go back. But he challenged me to a roller rink race. He wanted to go one-on-one with me, Bobby.
For the Patriot Cup.
For the Patriot Cup. He came up with this cup. Now, we're going to talk about that in a second. Because I'm not happy about the Patriot Cup situation, okay? All right. So I go down to DeCoin, Illinois this past Tuesday, right?
Right.
And we get there a little later than we wanted to, thanks to producer Bobby not understanding the city he's lived in for his whole life and traffic around it, which is great. Congratulations at the age of 25. Yeah, you lived for a quarter of a century, and you didn't know your own traffic in your own town. Now, with that being stated, we get down to DeCoin, Illinois, and we walk in, and there's a crowd there to see this. And, of course, Mike, he's being really timid. You know what I'm saying? I think he realized when I walked in, like, I think they got this view in their eye, and then this 6'4", 250-pound dude walks in. And then they're like, oh, wait, he's not just some kid, some young guy. You know, he's like a grown big dude. Like, so I think he was really full of himself. I think he thought he was going to win.
But then he saw me.
What's that again?
Bit off more than you could chew.
I think he thought that I bit off more than I could chew is what I really think is what was going down there. But we got to meet a lot of great people down there, as well as the owners of the roller rink down there at Allskate.
James and Tara?
Yeah, those were the people. And they were the ones doing the announcing for the night, which was fine. So we race. And let me just tell you guys, if you go to theqnow.com, the video is up there, okay? It's pathetic to watch Mike Barcell. Nothing against Mike Barcell. He's a good dude. But it is pathetic to watch him try to take me on.
He's a nice guy, but he's not an athlete. Listen.
I'm an executive director with Dynamo Pro right now. That's my job. Like, I come to the ring, I command authority, okay?
I don't
run around the ring doing clotheslines anymore and trying to kill myself. I don't have time for that. It's nothing personal to you guys. I love you. I want you guys to do that. You know what I'm saying? I have to, like, I'm basically not an athlete anymore, you know? But when I got there on that roller rink, Mike Barcells knew he was dealing with a monster. A serious monster of roller skating.
Woken up the sleeping giant.
He woke up a sleeping giant, an athlete.
A giant Gonzalez.
A sleeping athlete who's probably still sleeping. Now, I will give Mike Barcells the side win on this one, because this morning I woke up a sleeping giant myself with very sore shins and very sore thighs, the aftermath of this.
That is the price of victory.
I might have won the war, but I definitely lost the battle of that. That is all I know is
you looked great on those quads.
I'm telling you, I did.
Did you stretch afterwards?
No, I didn't.
Did you stretch before?
You guys got to realize, I used to, for 10 solid years of my life, two times a day, I lived in the gym 2 hours at a time. Back when water creatine, not the stuff they got now that's good, the stuff that was water-based, like you take it and would make you fat if you stopped it.
The monohydrate?
Oh, the monohydrate. That's all they had.
And
they swore by it.
I still use that.
Oh, yeah. I bet you do, but it's a different style. Like,
yeah.
The way that they formulate it now is not like that. Back then, you stopped taking it? Like, I swear to God, I used to remember watching Orton. I used to watch him just slam a red line before we would go in and do our workouts and stuff. Like just, it was just ridiculous, the stuff that they would tell us to do back then. And, like, we get jacked. It was great and all. But the minute you got injured or hurt or stopped working out, any cardio whatsoever,
you deteriorated.
Dude, look at this waddle I got right now, man. It's still here to this day. It's up and like
I'm the opposite. I fade away.
You fade away.
Yeah.
You got to like that, okay?
No.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
That's okay, though. You know, that's what I try to explain to some young pro wrestlers. I've had young pro wrestlers talking to me like, man, Mark, because if you guys can tell, look at me. I'm a big dude. Like, I still have the frame and the size from back when I used to lift a lot. I'm like, you can tell from her. I'm wide. I built a lot on my shoulders and arms, but I don't work out anymore. Like, I don't go to the gym. I don't do cardio or anything like that. So now I'm fat. I admit it. You know what I'm saying? But I did that for 10 straight years. Like, I got kind of like you, burned out. You know, it was one of those things where eventually I wasn't getting to the WWE, and it's great to get $25 paydays at the indie level, but that's not going to pay the house bills, and I got two kids and a wife.
Right, you
got
to start thinking about
it. Yeah, you got to start thinking about your career and your life, so it's like, I don't need it. You know what I'm saying? If I was, you know, a security guard, you know, somebody who needs to be in a powerful position or something like that, I use my mouth to talk. These jaws are strong. That's all I'm telling you.
There we go. Those are the money makers.
Those are the money makers right there. Okay, so Mike Barcells. After I beat him, they couldn't stand it that this moderate liberal scum who hates Mossy Oak, doesn't care for Duck Dynasty, don't give a crap about him. Sorry. I don't care about your Patriots. Like, listen.
I like the Patriots.
Huge
Patriots fan.
No, the word Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Now, listen.
I had to defend my boy.
I get it. By the way, I like the Patriots too. Awesome. Listen, I get it, conservatives. The word soldier, eagle, Patriot, America, and don't tread on me are interchangeable to you, okay?
And get her done.
And get her. Like, any of that stuff is interchangeable to you. You guys think that that's great. You guys are from the great state of Texas. Like, yes. You had a president, two presidents within the last 25 years that came from your state.
Why do you have to bring that up?
I'm just saying. Two presidents. Like, hey, there's obviously something in the water in Texas that makes people love those guys down there that run that state, you know? Maybe not the guy who's there right now.
Yeah, it's money.
Yeah, it's money. That's exactly what it is. But so anyway, they didn't like that. They did not like that I walked into their town and I destroyed that man in front of all of them. So they put ringers out there, Bolt. Jordan, they put ringers out on me. People that have been skating for their whole lives.
By skating, we mean someone who was part of or ranked in the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, like big time stuff. Okay. These people started like 20 feet behind me and I started at the normal start line.
Right.
I still won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You couldn't beat me.
You're the man.
That dude did catch up to me, though. I'm not going to lie. His problem was he would have won that race, even though he started 20 feet behind me, the one guy who had a chance.
Yeah.
He started well behind me, but he caught all the way up to me. His problem was he went wide when it was time to go for the finish line, and by going wide, it allowed me to cut early.
He was Usain Bolt on wheels.
Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah, dude, this dude was flying. And so then, of course, you know, all the little kids wanted to challenge me, and I get shoved into the wall by a 10-year-old.
Don't underestimate kids. Kids are brutal, bro.
Dude,
seriously, 10-year-old behind me, just like, boom, corner check. You know what I'm saying?
At least he didn't chop block you.
Hit the ground. I can't get up fast enough.
Yeah.
Seven or eight of them just across the finish line.
She stood over the top of them, too.
The awkwardness of high school to, you know, inset those social values.
That's right.
Do anything. They're ruthless.
All right. Now, so here's the situation. We were fighting for the Patriot Cup. I brought that up.
The Don't Tread on Me Cup.
The Don't Tread on Me Cup. The Eagle Cup. Whatever you want to call it. Those words are interchangeable.
The Soldier Cup.
They literally kept the cup. They didn't tell me that they made a trophy. Me and Bobby stood there for an hour afterwards talking to these people. There is a trophy that has the word Patriot Cup on it that is supposed to be walking out with the true champion over here.
You were robbed.
I was robbed. Yeah. I am the true champion. Okay? I am the guy who owned that championship. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And when I walked out of that place, even after talking to these people for an hour after the races, a full hour, they could have at any time been like, oh, by the way, here's the cup. No. Because they're conservatives. And that's what conservatives do. They steal things from you and they hold it back.
They conserved your trophy.
Yeah, they conserved my
trophy.
They conserved the movement of that trophy from where it was at, and they just didn't move it at all. So I've got some beef with Mike Barcells.
We do have some beef.
And the reason I say that is because, Bolt, at this point, I might have to re-challenge. I might have to go down there and put a beating on Mike Barcells.
Well, you gotta put, you gotta make sure the trophy is like somewhere where everyone can see it.
Oh no, no, no! Listen, I'm thinking maybe, and I don't know if this can be possible or pulled off, but I'm thinking we put a pro wrestling event on down there at the roller rink. I think that we do this. We get Bolt Brady to come in. We get Jordan to come in. We get down there along with a few other wrestlers, and then we set up the main event. It's real simple. It's you and me, Mike. You're not going to, like, cheat me out of my cup. You're not going to steal my trophy. You've got my title. That's all I'm saying.
Or we could just go to his house. And
we could just go beat him up, yeah.
Okay, you don't want to say
Jordan
that on the radio.
Damn, Jordan, you're only 18. Calm down.
You say Jordan's that after the show.
Yeah, Jordan's all super gangster.
I got
over
all
really
my life to go to jail.
My goodness. All right,
Jordan's
let's
trying to jargon.
So, by the way, so I did win the Patriots Cup. The videos will be up at theqnow.com, so go check those out if you get a chance. Let's get in.
I was going to say real quick, thank you to everybody over at All Skate Again. Tara, James, everybody that was over there hanging out with us.
And Mike Barcell, too.
Mike Barcell.
WINI. We appreciate it. We had a great time. And thinking we'll have to do something like that again, maybe to get my cup back. That's all I'm saying. All right. It's time for us to get into Game On, Game Off.
Game On, Game Off.
All right. So I'm going to start off this week because, Bobby, I think you got me potted up over there. The first thing, my Game On this week is very simple. It's a gentleman by the name of Wallpaper. You can hear it in the background there. I don't think, but we're going to let it play for a minute, and I'll come back and talk about it.
That's all you got. That's all you got. That's all you got. I don't put glue sticks in my nose in them, but my face pasted to linoleum. Kitchen floor at some college dorm, it face down in a bloodstained carpet. Get chicks at the farmer's market. White girls buy produce, take them home, make them drink Grey Goose. White boy wasted, glue stick pasted. White boy wasted, glue stick pasted. Stupid pasted.
All right, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Stupid Faced It is the name of the song. It's in the new 21 Jump Street trailer. 22 Jump Street, I'm sorry. 22 Jump Street coming out next summer. So check that out. His name is Wallpaper. Hot song. I guarantee you it's going to be.
Wasn't that bad? I liked him.
It's going to be a huge, huge hit next summer, and I'm really excited about that because maybe I know people that are involved. That's all I'm saying. With that being stated, that's my Game On. So everybody get
game on.
Stupid Faced It by our friend Wallpaper. Now, my game sweet off this week. All right, small rant. Sorry, guys. And we'll stream this into the next section if we have to. I understand. But this situation with the whole Santa Claus is black thing. Now, Bolt, we haven't like directly stated this
right,
on the show
right
here, but you are a black gentleman.
I'm a black
no
man.
No way.
You are a black gentleman.
I couldn't tell.
I thought that came off.
Sometimes. Jordan is Chinese, but you are black.
Yeah.
You are definitely
No. Jordan's fine. And so
Jordan's
white
Chinese
girl.
No,
she's, white
she's
girl
fine.
What is your makeup? Do you have a makeup? Like,
I'm Japanese.
You're Japanese? Are you really?
No.
All right, fair enough. That would be hilarious if you were though.
Italian.
She's Italian. Okay, fair enough. So okay. But anyway, have you heard the story about this whole situation with the black Santa Claus thing?
I have not. Fill me in.
Basically, on Fox News, an individual happened to be on one of the shows there named Megan, and she decided to rip in to the cultural stereotype that Santa Claus, because there was some black Santa Clauses that were going around. Now, every single year, Santa Claus is kind of a universal individual.
Black Santa Claus, we're talking about like at the malls.
Right, yes.
Okay.
And
I
heard this story.
There
this
have
is
been,
hilarious.
There have been, it's okay to have a black Santa Claus.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with having a black Santa Claus, in my personal opinion. Now,
right,
Megan went on to Fox, and she explained to everybody that Santa Claus is white. Santa Claus has to be white, and that's the only way it can possibly be.
That they messed up her fictitious character.
Yes, they mixed up her fictitious. Now, here's my point. I will be the first to, in a way, defend her a little bit, but at the same point, I understand.
It is a little bit awkward as a black guy.
Yeah,
even
yes,
I would be like...
Santa Claus is from the North Pole. That's the Nordic part of the world.
Right.
Yes.
There's not many black people in the Nordic part of the world.
Brothers don't like the cold.
The brothers do not like the cold. Believe me, in the hip-hop game, I've been around tons of them, okay?
Those cars get
turned up very hot in the winter. That's
absolutely
all I'm saying, okay?
She gets on me about it
you
all the time.
You can't hotbox in a car when it's that hot. That's all I'm saying.
No,
it gets hot.
You cannot.
Okay? So, here's the situation. But she made the statement that it's the only way that it can be. Now, I will agree that Santa Claus, probably best representation because it's the most iconic representation,
right,
is a white gentleman.
It's the classic.
And I get that. That's the classic move. At the same point, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a black Santa Claus. I don't think it's going to change the world or, like, destroy us.
Right. I thought Santa Claus was more about, like, you know, the concept of, you know, like, giving.
But honestly, have you ever seen a black man with a cute button nose?
Fair enough.
That's true.
Black people do tend to have bulbous noses. There's nothing wrong with it. But then I got a big old schnoz myself. Like,
some,
I understand.
Some have bowls full of jelly. You
right.
Know?
That's cool. And there's nothing wrong
with it. Rosy red cheeks.
But here's
sometimes.
I don't think so.
It's cold enough.
Let's get up off of stupid things to argue about. Huh? That's my game off.
Fair enough.
Game off is stop arguing about dumb things, okay? That's a dumb thing. You know what else is a dumb thing? And I'm not knocking them. Missouri State Athletic Commission has a rule. You know what one of the rules is? A woman has got to take a pregnancy test before she can get licensed in the state.
Why? I don't have a license, people.
That's dumb. But that's just dumb because most girls know if they're pregnant for the most part.
We are from Texas, and Jordan has ran to that multiple times.
Where you were pregnant? And
no.
You wrestled?
Oh, my God.
Where exactly.
How do you think I got rid of it?
Where the
I'm
other,
just kidding.
Where the other girl was pregnant. And said,
but
just
how?
Don't kick me in the stomach.
But now, okay, the question.
Wow. Don't hit me with that drop kick.
Is this true?
Yes.
Now, here's the question.
So
here's
many
the question.
Times.
How long, how far along are we talking, though?
2 months was the longest one.
2 months is pretty deep.
Yes.
And two months is pretty, that's just a moronic individual
to
right there.
Taking bumps?
Yeah.
You know?
First couple of weeks, and you haven't even started to have morning sickness or anything
right,
like that.
Right. You don't know.
I can understand you maybe failing there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And let's be honest. As a woman, Jordan, you kind of probably understand these things a little bit.
Yes,
there's a certain time period you can take a pregnancy test all you want while being pregnant, and you're not going to show up as a positive yet.
But girls feel like as long as they're not showing that it's okay.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
No, I've heard that for real.
But I've
heard it too.
But my point is that's a stupid argument to have, and I think that we need to game off dumb arguments. Let's stop worrying about stupid things to argue about
right.
that have no place in this world. Okay, now, Bolt Brady.
Okie doke.
We're going to go to you.
Okay.
What is your game on this week?
My game on, actually, I was thinking, I know you brought me on for my comic knowledge. My game on
sure.
is weird, quirky little, I guess you'd say, C-list characters. You're starting to see more and more of them. Like, Ant-Man's going to be a big thing. Everybody's on the Deadpool train right now.
Okay.
A lot of people are talking about Rocket Raccoon. What originally started out as an accident by Marvel, because we don't own the rights to Spider-Man. We don't own the rights to X-Men. Those are, like, two of our biggest
Isn't there
franchises.
One called, like, Chew? Isn't there, like, a comic called Chew where the person bites Chew. Into people and then he can see the future or something? I think it might be on Image.
That sounds like a cool comic, but it's not Marvel. But
I think it might be Image. Image has got some really...
Image does have some good comics.
It's got some really, like, supposedly, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's a comic from Image that I think I talked about on the show that is, like, a really good gateway comic.
Invincible?
Like it's like a 13-piece series comic. I want to say like The World's End or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out during the break.
Why the Last Man?
Why the Last Man? That's it. Why the Last Man? I heard that's like a really
good
entry
really good,
comic
yeah.
for people because it's not too over their heads, but it's got a really great storyline.
It's realistic enough to where you can believe it, but it's like... It's still, there's
and
enough of a story going on.
And why would fall into this small little comic book character?
Yes, that's another one.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Okay, cool. That's a really good one. So who's your favorite small character?
My favorite small character right now that's getting a lot of attention is probably Rocket Raccoon.
From the video game?
Wasn't
he in the video game? Wasn't it a Rocket Raccoon video game and that's how that all started?
He's in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I don't think he's been in a video game yet.
No,
Marvel
really?
Versus Capcom 3 isn't...
I thought Rocket Raccoon literally was his own video game, like on Sega Master System or Sega Genesis back in the day.
Really?
And then I could be wrong.
Think so.
I think it's Roger Raccoon.
Ratchet Raccoon? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank? Was that a raccoon?
Ratchet and Clank. Was Ratchet a raccoon?
I can't remember.
He was raccoonish.
All right, we'll figure this out.
Yeah,
good
well, yeah.
Okay, so your game on is these small third-party characters.
Right.
Fair enough. I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one to get people game on that one, okay? What's your game off?
A game off is slow motion in movies. It's like it's being overdone.
Like, it was cool in The Matrix the first time around?
It was cool in The Matrix. It was cool in Max Payne, but now it's getting ridiculous.
Fast and the Furious 6 is just too much, is what you're saying?
Slow motion is showing up in places it shouldn't show up.
Like, give us an example.
Example. Spider-Man. His reflexes are 18 times that of a normal human.
Sure.
You need slow motion to show the stuff that you normally wouldn't see. That makes sense. That's okay.
Fair enough.
Batman does not need slow motion. Thor does not need slow motion.
Batman,
I don't need to
Batman
see.
Batman probably doesn't need slow motion. No. Yeah, that's a good call. That's good. Well, he's supposed to be human, too.
He's right. Already slow.
Yeah, exactly. He's already really slow.
Thor, you know, I get how dramatic it is, but I don't need to see the hammer come down slower. I get the point that the hammer is very powerful.
I like to see his triceps flex.
Are you excited about the new Thor movie coming out?
I still haven't seen it. I know. I'm way behind.
Has it come out yet?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's been out.
Oh, it came out the beginning of November.
I'm way behind.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it myself either.
I've seen the first one, and I hear the second one is better than the first.
We talked about this, what was it, a week or two ago? I was bored by Captain America. The Captain America movie is like the one that just bored me to death. I love the bad guy.
Red Skull.
Red Skull. He was cool. Like, that was a cool character. And I understand that they had to do it to, like, set up for the
Right. It very much had Avengers. The feel that, like, we need to tell you this story so
right.
we can get
but
to the cool
I just
stuff.
Don't see anything interesting about that character. Like, I get it. You're supposed to be Superman for the Marvel Universe.
No,
I understand.
Not Superman. Sort of. He's like the grandfather of the Marvel Universe. He's like the heart. Two looks really good.
Two looks
Winter
really good.
Soldier, yeah.
Yeah, two looks incredible.
I haven't seen anything about either one of those. I'm trying to think.
The Winter Soldier is his best friend.
It's Bucky. He dies
it's
in
Bucky.
The first one.
I still think Bobby's down on that stuff real hard. I still think my
like
favorite
like
one was, but I'm learning. I'm learning third-party characters. I'm in. I'm working on this over here.
You could be our third-party character on this one.
We're feeding them out.
We're weeding this out. I get it. Mine was probably Iron Man 1. And I didn't mind, too. Like, I really like the Tony Stark character. I think that he plays him really well.
Yeah.
And from every person that I've ever talked to who loves those comic books, you know who else I really liked? But I like the old version of this movie better than the newer ones, The Punisher.
Have you seen Punisher Warzone?
No. Is that the newest one that just came out within the last couple of years?
Yeah, it didn't get a lot of attention because everyone's like, it's too graphic. And it's like, that's what The Punisher is.
Right.
He's not a nice person.
I got a friend who's a deep Punisher fan. And I like the one that came out a few years ago, the first one before Warzone.
With Jane.
Before Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
Yeah,
that one wasn't bad.
That with John Travolta. That was good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, Warzone was my favorite, but not a lot of people knew about it. It didn't get a lot of attention. It's kind of hard to push a rated R comic book movie.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, we're going to finish off our game on, game off with Jordan, if she would like to do one herself, as well as our friend producer Bobby over here.
Yeah.
He's got a good game on, game off. We're going to be back on the queue right after the top of the hour here on 1280 AM KYRO 1420 WINI.
Going down, I'm yelling timber. You better move, you better dance. Let's make a night you won't remember. I'll be the one you won't forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. You're listening to us on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, as well as worldwide on the interwebs, the Lycoses, the web crawlers, right? The AOL disk. You got your free AOL disk there, Bolt?
The Netscape.
Did you get your 2,500 free minutes?
I was using it as a coaster there for a while.
For a little while there? You were taking care of business there? We got Bolt Brady as well as Jordan Grace here, who have decided to join us on the queue today, and we are in the middle of game on, game off. Producer Bobby's getting ready to do his thing, but you guys were telling us a very interesting story off the air when you first moved to St. Louis. What happened, Bolt?
Oh, well, you hear about, it's St. Louis. We live in South County, so we got there, and you know, it's all pretty nice. We're like, oh, this isn't bad. So we got the truck out, and you know, we're pretty much running train. We're all running stuff off the trucks.
Right, you're unloading
stuff off the truck, yeah. And we come back, and there's some lady sitting out our truck, and she's like, yeah, someone took some from your truck. And I'm like,
so there's a lady just standing in the truck.
No, no, no. She's standing like beside the truck.
By the
like
truck.
Waiting
and you don't
to
know
tell
her.
Us.
And you, oh, so she's there to
right.
just witness it.
Good Samaritan. Yeah.
I get you. Okay. All right.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, a van pulled up and some guy ran in and took a box and ran off. So we're like, oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so what was in the box?
No, the best thing that
yes,
was in the box.
Here's the kicker. is it was a VCR.
It was a VCR.
Which, for us, sucks because, you know, we have a
we
bunch of old
tape.
Wrestling tapes.
Yeah, you got a lot of old wrestling
right.
tapes and stuff like
but
that.
I know that guy got in that van. They peeled off.
That box.
And he opened it up.
And he's
was
like,
excited.
Oh,
he was like,
shoot.
What is this, probably?
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible, dude. So your first
yeah.
day here,
we
you guys
robbed.
Are getting robbed.
We got robbed.
We got a cassette player. What are we going to do with this?
Oh, my goodness.
It's vintage.
If well, you keep it for 10 more years, it might be worth some.
That's a horrible thing. I'm sorry that that happened to you in our fair
right.
city.
I'm glad it wasn't something you know, more expensive.
Like your shaving kit for your body?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Exactly enough. My brush and all that.
Your brush yeah. and all that. I get you.
Old
all right.
school brush.
All right, so we're in the middle of game on, game off, and Bobito.
Yo, yo.
It is your turn. What is your game on this week, sir?
Game on roller skating.
Roller skating. Yes, we did do some roller skating this past week.
Game on roller skating on quads and making it look good.
If you haven't been listening and you're just joining us right now, we had the Patriot Cup Challenge, me and Mike Barcel from 1420 WINI. I won. Effectively.
But we never got the cup.
And we never got the cup. So roller skating is your game on.
Game on roller skating.
What was so intriguing about roller skating? What made you love it? Are you going to start roller skating?
I might start either roller skating or roller blading for athletics, you know.
Bolt, do you roller skate? Do you roller blade?
No, as a teenager, I used to roller blade everywhere.
I bet. I could tell from your look. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got that fit. Did you wear the spandex and everything?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
Didn't wear the spandex. Wore jeans. I fell sometimes, so jeans.
Fair
jeans
enough.
Helped quite a bit.
Fair enough. What about you, Jordan?
Not avidly, but I do sometimes.
Are you guys going to go with me and Bobby if we decide to go do one of these challenges again?
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see you take the trophy.
You know, they
back.
Have couple skates where you guys kind of like one skates backwards, the other one skates forwards.
Oh,
you know, and
like
just kind of dance. And stuff like, yeah, it's kind of dancing, you know?
I'm good.
I don't know.
Like,
game off. Game off. Okay. Couple skating.
Game off couple skating?
No. That's what Jordan is thinking.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Well, you guys don't know this, but this is kind of a running joke on the show. Bobby had a very long streak there on Game On, Game Off, where he'd be like, Game On Blu-rays, Game Off DVDs. Like, you know, like just random stuff that you would like. You know, like
Game yeah. On.
Game On saving
respect.
Money. Game Off losing money. You know, like just really
oh,
dumb
man.
Things.
You're it, on point.
I think the best one was Game On respect, Game Off disrespect.
That was his
disrespect game is a game off.
Well,
you know?
Of course it's a game off, but it's pretty much yeah. Like,
it's a given.
Like
it's
I'm
a
giving
given.
People like I'm giving people like what was the website that I get the pizza one? PizzaCodes.com.
PizzaCodes.com.
Yeah, it's a website that basically would you just go in and I don't know if it's PizzaCodes.com.
I think it's PizzaCodes.com and you go in and you put in your zip code.
Yeah, and basically it just loads up every single restaurant that has coupon codes online and stuff like that within your area, and
wow.
then it just tells you what the code is, and it'll save you up to 50% off your. Dude, I spent
that's incredible.
A total of $11, including the tip and delivery fee. For like two extra large pizzas from this one place.
Oh,
that's
wow.
crazy.
Like it was ridiculously good savings. So
that's
like but I'm trying
robbery,
to help people
dude.
Out
right.
with
that's
with
a huge
like,
game
that's
on.
That's a game on. Like that's a helping people out. Bobby's right. like checking it on his phone while I'm talking about it, right? Bobby's thinks like, hey, just
he's
don't
like,
disrespect
oh, hey.
People.
You gotta think ahead.
Yeah, like I'm just trying to okay, so what's your game off this week?
Game off is the movie The World's End.
Really? Now that's the one with Simon Pegg.
Yeah, it's the same people that did like
Hot
Shaun
Fuzz
of the Dead
and Shaun
and
of the
Hot
Dead.
Fuzz.
Okay, oh, okay, okay.
I thought it was stupid, dumb, stupid.
That's the third one in that trilogy because it's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and then that movie.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's basically it's kind of like Kevin Smith does with all the hit like Clerks and all that. It's the same cast all the way through,
right?
You know? But they just have a different story. Even though Kevin's is a little bit more closely runs together with
right.
the story
it's
from
a
the
continuity.
First
one. Yeah,
yeah, there's not as much continuity with the stuff
the Shaun of the Dead.
The Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
Yeah, basically the whole premise of this movie is it's I think it's five guys who they want to just have one more epic night because they're getting married or one of them is getting married, so they want to have one epic night, and it kind of sounds like The Hangover.
Right.
But then they go to this bar called The World's End.
Okay.
Well, when they go into the bar, all that the movie is basically they find out that all the people are like
aliens and zombies and like mafia members and like all these people, and they're trying to like fend for themselves because these people are bringing the end of the world.
Okay, I got you.
But it's really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stupid movies out there. What kind of movies do you like?
Action movies.
Action is your thing. Yeah. Like, what's your favorite action movie?
Oh, man.
Is it a comic book movie? Is it like, you know,
Bloodsport?
I do like Bloodsport.
Of course.
I'm going to have to go with... The first Spider-Man was really good, but I'm actually going to have to go with Die Hard. It's also my favorite Christmas movie. I'll probably watch it.
Oh, actually, that's not a bad...
Die Hard is your favorite Christmas
movie. Yeah, because it happens at Christmas time. Yeah. A lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas movie, Mark?
My favorite Christmas movie? Ooh, that's a really good question.
You're all going to make fun of me when I tell you.
You know, mine is actually... I hate to say this. There was a movie called Reindeer Games a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
As well as I love Christmas Vacation.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, yeah. And I also like Christmas Vacation. There's another really good one a lot of people don't know about. It's called The Ref.
Never heard of it.
Now, that's the one comedian, the Irish guy from the Fire Show that's on FX. Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary is the star of the movie, and he goes and kidnaps a family on Christmas Eve. And then it's the interaction between him kidnapping and this other.
Right.
Fantastic movie. Huh. Really just a hands-down great movie. If you get a chance, you know, it's Christmas time here.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get yourself on Netflix there, see if you can find The Ref or rent it and check it out. I bet you guys would find it pretty interesting. So what about you, Jordan? What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Elf.
Yeah. Elf's good.
Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color?
Buddy the Elf. Which
Santa? I know him.
Yeah, everybody.
You sit on a throne of
lies. You sit on a throne of lies.
It's adorable.
It is a great movie. Plus, there's the...
Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, she's hot.
She is.
She's a hottie.
Yeah, sometimes Will Ferrell gets old. But
that was her first big movie. Like, that was one of the first movies that you could, like, watch that movie.
Well, she's
a
music artist who ended up...
That's Zoe.
You know, there's this group of music artists around the same time that all kind of popped off. Like, the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto.
Uh-huh.
As well as, you got Zooey Deschanel. They were all in bands, and they happened to just do acting on the side, and they kind of, like, got picked up and run up, you know.
Right.
Worked out for them really well. All right, so...
By the way, my favorite Christmas movie is Jingle All the Way.
Oh, Jingle All the Way is great.
Oh, that's not a bad movie. Yeah. Sinbad? Is that the one with Sinbad?
Yeah, Sinbad, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Arnold Schwarzenegger. Turbo Man, yeah.
You know what? A lot of people don't give Sinbad credit. Back in the early 90s, Sinbad was on point with his comedy, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he had a couple big specials that were huge.
And Phil Hartman.
The most successful, like, clean comedian I can think of.
Fair enough.
He wasn't that vulgar at all.
Oh, by no means.
He kept everything pretty clean and was still funny. That's
Which is really
do.
Funny because the dad from Full House turns around.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And he turns around and becomes like this extremely dirty comedian that is just opposite of everything.
Didn't become it. That's just who he was.
It's who he was.
That's who he was. All right. So, Jordan, would you like to partake in the Game On, Game Off?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So what is Jordan Grace's Game On for this week?
It is social experimentation.
Social experientation. All right. Please explain.
Damn, you can't come on here and outdo me.
No. Explain to everybody at home.
Well, some YouTube groups have been, they're kind of like pranks, but not really. They get together and they act out a scene with a bunch of strangers around. And whatever these strangers do, you basically determine their morality and their integrity about these people. Like, I just watched one where they had a guy pickpocket another guy and walk away in front of a bunch of people, and they had to see if the people were going
to
stop the guy or say something. Yeah.
Oh,
kind of like what would you do?
Yeah. There was a show called
Buzz.
No. Did you see that? Did you see that or something? It was on ABC. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, and there was one where like an old man was walking down the street with his groceries, and some teenage kids came up and beat him up.
Okay.
Wow.
And then, but the whole thing was, would pedestrians step in and be like, whoa.
That's the whole point.
And see how they interact.
Dude, I saw...
Man, that's not common. I've watched a few of them
now,
right there.
down the same road, I did see something that was sort of a social experiment the other day, but it kind of works out to be almost like a prank video, too.
Was it Borat?
No, it was not Borat. But it was this guy decides that you know how there's people who like to just talk loud on their cell phones?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So his thing was, Because they talk so loud on their cell phones, you can hear what they're saying.
Right. Oh, so he would act like he had a cell phone,
he would
too?
Go up, yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
And he'd sit next to them at airports and other things like that and talk on his cell phone and then answer their questions.
And so
while he's answering their questions, they start to notice that, like, they'll say this, and he, like, answers a response to that specific question. And then they turn and look at him and, like...
And they'll be like, are you talking to me? He's like, no, I'm just talking on the phone.
I'm just on the phone. I'm just talking on the phone. It was so great, dude. It was so funny.
Did the people really get the point, though?
I don't think so. In fact, the one guy got up and moved two seats.
Right.
So this guy goes, oh, I'm having some real bad reception. Yeah. I got to get up and move. And he moved over to the seat next to the guy.
I don't want
to
interrupt your conversation, bro. Like, let's split ours up.
That was hilarious, man. So that's really good. That's a good one. Social experimentation. And just, I guess you could just look that up on YouTube.
I love it. Yes, just look it up on YouTube. A lot of people are doing it.
All right. Now, so what is your game off then?
Okay. This is going to be also kind of a public service announcement.
PA, she's going to rant. Jordan's going to rant, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Stop twerking.
Stop.
Please. Dear twerking. God, stop.
Are you seeing a lot? I'm not, like, walking down the street randomly seeing twerking going on. So is this happening somewhere you're at a lot or something?
It happens in Austin.
It happens, just people twerking on the streets.
See, when twerking first came out, I wasn't wild about it.
I mean, twerking is a pretty ghetto thing, right?
People are like messing it up now, and it's hilarious.
Bring up the Walmart song.
Like, now injuries are happening because of twerking.
Bring up the Walmart song. Like, the twerk thing was more of a ghetto thing, like in the ghetto clubs.
As someone who cannot twerk, I'm very offended
by it. But then it spread, like, it just, like... It became like social hot fire, but now that people are like getting injured and stuff doing it,
people are getting injured twerking.
People do it on the walls.
Yeah,
that is crazy. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I like it now that it's like resulting in like botches.
Did you find the video there? Did you find the song?
Oh, is this people at Walmart?
No. Like a Walmart twerk song or something like that. Look that up. We'll play it for people. I'm going to Walmart.
And then bobbity,
bobbity, bobbity, bobbity, bobbity. Like, all it is girls twerking in the aisles of Walmart.
I believe it.
It's crazy. Walmart twerk rap song.
I saw a girl trying to twerk on her glass screen door.
Oh.
And she got on it and just busted the whole thing out.
That's hilarious.
Now, if you remember,
that is ridiculous.
Wait. Did you hear about Jimmy Kimmel right after that happened?
Right.
Where he did the fake twerk video.
Yes.
And everybody,
it went viral.
It went super viral and everybody was staring at it.
Have you seen the alternate ending?
No. Where he pops up?
Where he pops up and he roasts marshmallows on her leg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have.
That is crazy. Like, I'm telling you, that guy's a genius, though. Kimmel's a funny guy. He really is a genius. Well, that's a good one, too. You know, the PA, the public service numbers. Please stop twerking.
Stop twerking.
We need everybody to stop twerking.
Man, forget going to the club to meet something new. When I want to meet something new, I go get me a basket.
The Walmart song.
All right.
Check this out.
All the women being Walmart.
Merry Christmas.
I'm going to Walmart.
They're just twerking their butts off.
Yeah, see, that's not funny. Like, if one of them, like, fell in some clothes and, like, knocked something over, then I'd be on the floor.
But, I mean, this is cracked. The song's got bad. Like,
there's worse songs.
Oh, it's a good twerk song.
I wish you could have seen what I just saw. That was gross.
Oh, that is horrible.
Tell her to stop.
Oh, my goodness. What's his name? Mr. something?
The Shake Team.
That's right. Shake Team.
The New Orleans Shake Team.
The New Orleans Shake Team doing the Walmart twerk
this
song.
This is very... I go to New Orleans every once in a while. Yes, this is
so wait,
very
when you twerk, kidding. Can you like twerk the back and the top? Because I'm pretty sure that's what just happened.
If you've got enough bacon on your back,
I mean, the whole point was it's supposed to just be a stripper move from the strip club.
And when very large chicks twerk by just shaking their ass, stop. What?
Because it is rocking.
They're shaking their fat.
They are definitely shaking their fat.
In most states, that's illegal.
Crazy. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Game On, Game Off. I want to thank Jordan and, of course, Bolt for joining us today on that. Those were good ones, guys.
I think mine was the best.
I think you did have a really good
pretty
one.
Pretty good.
Nice job.
PSA on twerking was definitely top-notch. I got a little story I want to read off to everybody here.
Already?
Let's talk about this, Bobby. Lost Prophets frontman Ian Watkins was sentenced today to serve 29 years behind bars and another 6 under strict probation for, among other horrifying things, the attempted rape of a baby.
What?
Watkins is 36 years old, pleaded guilty last month to 3 counts of sexual assault involving children and 6 counts of involving taking, making, and possessing indecent images of children. Watkins also admitted to the attempted rape of an 11-month-old baby boy, footage of which was shown in court.
Wow.
Oh.
This is the lead singer of a rock band named the Lost Prophets that is a well-known rock band. In fact, if I remember correctly, I think the WWE used a Lost Prophets song for the song of one of their pay-per-views, the rooftop song, when Matt Hardy was still wrestling there.
I assure you they will not anymore, probably.
No, they won't.
That was crazy.
They'll erase him like Crispin
Wolf. Just how... I mean, first of all, he's a rock star.
Right. But the
second
whole...
Second of all, like, just...
What makes you look at an 11-month-old baby?
Even...
Some people are just like that.
Yeah. Why would you think that? Why would you get into a wrestling ring 2 months pregnant and starting to show and just be like, don't kick me in the stomach? Like, why?
Did we talk about that on air earlier?
Yeah, we did. What was the problem? Why are these people doing this? I don't understand.
I don't even know. There's a lot of drugs involved in that idea.
All right. I want to ask you guys some questions.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Because...
kick me harder. I think
some of these questions could be really unique. We could really get into the minds of Bolt and Jordan before you guys get out of here.
Okay. Sounds,
which you guys aren't going to be able to be
good.
Here for the entire show. Like you said, you guys got some business that you got to handle. Before we get out of here, let me ask you guys a couple. I get questions sent to me from the listeners all the time. General stuff that they want me to know, they want to know about me, or just thoughts that I have. And we kind of do these on the overtime and stuff. But I figure with you guys here today being such great guess, I think we should do these with you.
Sure.
So, what's the best non-traditional pizza topping?
Best non-traditional
pizza topping. Like, you can't do sausage and pepperoni. It's got to be something that nobody normally would put on a pizza.
I'm pretty boring.
Pineapple.
You like pineapple?
I love it so
but
good.
With the Hawaiian pizzas as popular as they've
but
become.
But just pineapple.
Yeah.
Not the ham. I don't like that.
Not the ham.
Canadian bacon, sorry.
Does bacon count? Not Canadian bacon,
no,
but bacon.
No, bacon's a normal topping.
Bacon's normal.
I wouldn't even think the pineapple because of the Hawaiian pizzas now. I think that that's almost becoming
I've
like
done
a
pickles. Is pickles?
Oh, now that's a non-traditional. Yeah, pickles would be really unique.
I've done pickles. Pickles is good. Not by itself, but I've done like a bacon cheeseburger pizza and it had pickles on it. And that was
lettuce.
Really good.
Yeah. Lettuce?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, like,
a
taco?
Like a taco pizza?
Yeah. I've seen that
or
at CC's.
Or a friend of mine made up the Big Mac pizza.
Oh, really?
Thousand Island dressing, hamburger, cheese, onion.
That sounds like an epic mealtime skit is what that sounds like.
Bring it out of the oven, chop up onion or chop up pickle and lettuce, throw a little more thousand on the top.
What about Doritos?
Doritos can be
a taco.
That could definitely be not traditional. That's a good one. That's
anybody
really
else like the banana peppers?
No, they're disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right.
I'm not
oh my
fan.
God.
Here's a good
pepper.
One. We're really going to get into the minds of these two. Right?
Okey-doke.
Okay.
Sweet.
Here we go.
Let's get into
Jordan.
Deep.
Jordan. Yeah. Go. What is a supposedly unattractive celebrity that you find extremely attractive?
So I can't wait.
Somebody
to hear
that like now for me it would be like Maggie Gyllenhaal. Like a lot of people go, oh, I just don't think she's that great looking. I think
bad.
Maggie's hot.
I think she's cute.
Bad.
You know, I think she's a hot chick. So what about you?
I think Shia LaBeouf.
You don't
super
like. Do you think that people
hot.
Think of him as ugly?
As
an,
I think they think of him like as a nerd.
He's getting like
he's a
makeover
nerdy.
Now. He used to be nerdy, but now he's becoming like the action guy.
Like, do you remember him in Holes?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Like real super nerdy.
I thought he was hot back then.
Like, I think of Michael Cera. I'm sure there are people out there that think Michael Cera is just
super
hot.
He has like the nerd appeal. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. What about you, Bolt?
Ah, man.
Who's one for you? He's going to be like Ant-Man.
I hear it so commonly, so I don't know if it counts, but Flo...
Flo, the progressive girl.
She's hot.
But yeah,
but I think a lot of people
think
that
she's
is
hot.
The same thing. That's an awkward hot, though.
It is an awkward
she's
hot.
Awkward like,
hot. Good call.
Yeah,
she's
I'm trying
like,
to think of somebody.
Like, you can't say Brad Pitt and get awkward hot.
No,
right. You know, that
just
doesn't work.
That's
just,
I'm trying to think of...
I think Flo is fine.
Yeah.
I think Flo could work there, you know, just because it's not a tradition. What about you, Bobby?
I would actually say either Kesha or Lady Gaga.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
You gotta
see
her.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
If you could repeat a song for all of eternity, what song would you play?
Oh!
What song? Whoa. It's the only song you can listen to for all of eternity. What would it be?
Man, I don't know if there's any song like
Bobby.
Friends in Low Places
by Garth Brooks.
Yes,
you're nuts.
Cause I've got
friends in low. Wow. What about you, Jordan?
I'm going to be very hasty with this and just say Climax by Usher.
Okay, cool. All right. Very sexual song.
I, oh, mm,
Mm, that's your man. Let it burn. She's just like, I got that burn song on my mind all the time. I'll let you burn it, Usher.
If you're listening, my number is.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. What about you, Bold?
I'll go Movies by Alien Ant Farm. I like that song a lot.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. That is one of my favorite power punk songs of all time. I really love Movies. That's a great song. We actually should bring in the next section with Movies.
Do it.
I like that one.
Do it.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we don't have Bolt and Jordan for the entire show. I wish we did. If they could stick around, that would be really, really awesome. But unfortunately, these two said that they have to get going.
We have to go to the gym.
They got things that they've got to do. They got to stay in shape. Where do you guys gym at? Like, what's
Fit Gym?
Fit Gym. I got you. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
A lot of wrestlers work out there.
Really?
Yeah.
There must be something to that. I don't understand. There must be someone there.
Adam Rawl works there.
Yeah. He does work there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so, definitely. That's cool. Yeah, Adam's a good guy. He's like in 18. Good shape. So yeah. there you go.
He's said like 18 wrestlers work out there.
Wow, that's a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah.
All right, well, is there anything you guys want to plug or talk about? Do you social media? Do you have a website?
I have Facebook. I don't tweet. I can barely keep up with my Facebook.
So search up Bolt Brady on Facebook.
Bolt Brady on Facebook. I'm the only one that should
And
come
that's
up.
Where you can find out about where he's wrestling. What about you, Jordan?
And you can find me on Jordan Grace. I have a fan page, a Facebook, and a Twitter. My Twitter is at Jordan.Grace. The J and the G are capitalized.
Do you follow me?
Spell,
are you my friend?
Spell Jordan for me.
Yeah, spell it.
J-O-R-D-Y-N-E.
Yes, just like my daughter.
Can we be friends on Facebook?
Really? Yeah,
on Twitter?
On Twitter. I have too many friends on Facebook.
We can be Twitter friends, though.
Okay, that works,
I got a lot of followers. I got like 29,000 followers on Twitter. So
I thought you were going to say 29.
I got 29.
Jordan's like, maybe I'm not following you. That's not helping me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much to Bolt Brady and Jordan Grace for coming on the
show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. And when we come back, a little bit more with me and producer Bobby to finish out this episode of The Q. We'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today. Bolt Brady and Jordan Grace have exited the building. Moving on with their life. Thank you so much to those two really, really great individuals that we've had on the show. And I think it would be really, really great to have them back on again.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to do that again. Those guys were really fun to have on. But we, lo and behold, have to move on with our show as usual. Me and producer Bobby here. Don't forget a couple of things. Make sure you check out theqnow.com. We have the video of the roller rink race between us and Mike Barcel from 1420 WINI.
Yep.
That's going to be up there for you to watch, or you can watch it right now while you're listening to the show, as well as old shows, episodes, and things like that where we talk about it, including this is our 150th episode. 150th episode we had with Bolt and Jordan, and let me tell you something that's really, really amazing. At 100 was a year ago.
Yeah.
And that was actually the 100th show that we had ever done for this, obviously. That's why we call it the 100th show. But
was it 99?
No, it was not the 99th show. It was the 100th show, and we had Matt Conti on. And unfortunately for Matt, nothing against him, a great comedian in the St. Louis area. Make sure you check out his whatthefatherhood.com, which is his blog, which is really funny.
I like that.
And very entertaining. Matt came on, poor Matt, come on, live the day after the Sandy Hook situation. That's where Sandy Hook Elementary School happened up there in Connecticut. And unfortunately for him, being a funny comedian, that was a huge downer for all of us on the 100th episode. And so we obviously took a lot of phone calls and discussions with people about the Sandy Hook tragedy, talked a little gun control and things like that. It just wasn't the way I expected the 100th episode of The Q to go. Now, we are at 150, and we are at a year later of the Sandy Hook tragedy. Yep. And there seems to be some conspiracy theorists out there that don't believe. What?
I'm saying, me.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're one of the conspiracy theorists.
Absolutely.
I brought this up at the top of the show because I had been reading some of the conspiracy theories online that people had been bringing up since a year ago happened. And I did not know that you were one of the conspiracy theorists. Go ahead and explain yourself, sir.
All right. So there's just a lot of information that doesn't make sense. The medical examiner, the day of the shooting, came out and said that the wounds were single shot, some of them more than one, but mainly single shot from a long-range weapon. Gotcha. Now, in every police report, it states that the weapon was a close hand weapon. So that means something like a 9mm or a 22, something like that, close range weapon.
All right, fair enough.
That the long range weapon was in the vehicle outside of the school.
All right.
Also, there is many different audio clips of parents saying there's video that shoots at the school that shows anybody that's trying to get into the building, but yet there's no video of this kid ever, this Adam Lanza kid, trying to get into the school. You have to be allowed into the school. They even put bulletproof glass at the doors so that nothing could happen. There was a training exercise that just happened to be the same scenario 2 weeks prior at a school not far from Sandy Hook. The exact same situation. A kid gets irate, kills his parent at home, goes to the school, and kills and shoots kids. And they did not say teenagers at a high school or anything. They said children. Kill children. Then, when you're watching all of the video footage from that day, there was rumored to be 20 dead, and I think it was 5 injured. You never see... They show aerial footage, you know, that was there, you know, 10 minutes after the whole situation was announced, everything. But the ambulance that would be transporting all of these 5 injured, they're blockaded by police vehicles. There's no way for them to leave.
Okay, so my question at this point is, now that I've listened to all of your conspiracy theories...
And we never have seen bodies. There's never been any recorded grave sites or anything.
First off, that is not true at all. There have been bodies seen at the funerals of those children. And those bodies were on display in some cases.
Every one of them were closed casket.
I don't know if that's true or not. I can't say that.
I've read the information. Every one of them were closed casket.
But you have to understand, too, that before they close a casket, they still allow the parents of a child to view the body before they close the casket. That is not like, oh, it has to be closed casket. You can't ever see the face of your child again, whether they're alive or dead. You have no choice. We're just closing the casket. You got to deal with it. That's not how that works. Like, the funeral gives the parents the option to view the body if they so choose. And in most cases, they probably did choose to view the body because it's the last time they're going to lay eyes on their child in like actual form. And so they probably viewed the casket, and then they, at that time, either chose to close the casket or not. That's their choice. Some of these kids were shot in the chest. Some of these kids were shot in their bodies.
Correct.
So it's like the clothes just cover them up. There's no need to have a closed casket for the face, just like any other open casket.
Right, and I'm understanding that, but here's the thing. When someone sets something up, you don't leave traces. You're not going to show a body.
Okay,
you're going to have something, whether it be a wax dummy, you're going to have something in that casket, and the kids and then the eventual family, there's a thing called witness protection. They've been relocated.
Okay, most of those families still live in Sandy Hook, around Sandy Hook and in Connecticut. Some moved away.
Right.
Okay, but not all of them. There are quite a few that still live there. All right.
The majority I've heard have left.
Okay, that's very possible because that's a traumatic area for them now.
Correct.
Now, at the same point, I would suspect there's a few, maybe two or three families that still do live there.
Right.
Okay. Their kids died too. Okay, they're no different than the rest that moved away.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the conspiracy theory? Like, where's the end game in this? Like, what is the purpose to take people and make them just hate their lives for the rest of their lives, still live around that area, and for what purpose? What's the end game?
Well, I
don't think any of them would have wanted that.
No, but I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, our government needed some way for the citizens to put our faith back into the government. So when these kind of situations happen, like 9/11, when the Aurora shooting in Colorado, when the Sandy Hook shooting happens, we are looking towards the government. So we're trying to, you know, we're clawing for them. But you're saying that this is set up. Yes.
Okay, so why would they choose Sandy Hook and those kids specifically when there are thousands of kids that go to school every single day across this entire nation?
Because
hundreds of thousands of kids, and you could choose any number of schools and areas and places.
I'm not going to, well, I'm not
Why would they choose them?
I'm not going to choose a school in Detroit because that's a highly populated.
Sure not.
That's an urban place where this is going to be.
Could have done the middle of Ohio, though.
It's going to happen.
It's not highly populated.
But you look for a town similar to Newtown, Connecticut.
Why?
Where this is not a normal occurrence. So it's a big pop.
Wait, whoa. Do you think it's a normal occurrence in Paducah, Kentucky? Do you think it's a normal occurrence in Columbine, Colorado?
No.
Do you think it's a normal occurrence in Seattle, Washington? I don't think that it's a normal occurrence. Like, they could have chose Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Small town, right?
Right.
Way out in the middle of nowhere.
But they're not
real, real heartfelt Jesus-type people in the Bible Belt.
But they're not going to choose that place because of the fact that a lot of those people down there are open NRA kind of people, and they needed this town, which is a very, I guess you could say, quiet, secluded, away from everything.
Why not Vermont? Why not Vermont?
But they didn't fit the bill for at this time.
Why not 2 hours outside of Boston?
They at the time, that's
why
not,
not
where
West
they
Newbury, Massachusetts.
You should ask John.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of places that would fit
absolutely
the exact same description. Why chose that place
at this time? Because they were also talking about destroying this school and rebuilding a new Sandy Hook. So why not use this school? All the evidence is going to be wiped away within a couple months. And why not use this
Bobby,
place?
I love you, but I think you're reaching a little hard here, man.
No.
I really do, because I think that you're taking a lot of coincidences in a very chaotic situation that all happened within hours, and you're trying to add all these things up to make it seem like this over here, when they could have, if they were going to plan that, they have very smart people in the government in general.
Right.
They could have planned much better than that. No. Way much better than that. They needed to
pull at the heartstrings. So they take this situation where it affects you in your gut. You can relate to those families losing their children.
The 9/11 stuff blows my mind too, because it's like, okay, there's hundreds of buildings across this country that house thousands of people in them every single day for work.
Correct.
Now, don't get me wrong, the Twin Towers are iconic, but they're so iconic, why choose them?
Because you have to attack the infrastructure.
Why not the Arch with 40 people up in it, which is a huge monument? Why not the Washington Monument? Why not certain? Why crash your planes into your own Pentagon and kill your own people?
There wasn't a plane. There's no way that was a plane.
Okay. Why do that?
Tomahawk missiles, there's no
Why would you shoot at your generals and the people that sit on your cabinet for the president
because
of the United States?
Because it rallies your people.
No, those people sat next to you the day before having briefings with you. They're your friends. They know you personally.
But when you're trying to make a point, you don't care. You go out of your way to rally the troops and get them frustrated. And that's what happened in the 9/11 situation, because then we went to Iraq, Afghanistan. We fought terrorism.
I think what we have here is a very simple case, and you fall into this category now that you've explained some of these things to me. And it's not a knock on you, but I think that there are a lot of people in our country in 2013 that just can't accept that we die eventually. Life happens. It is chaotic. It doesn't have a template. It doesn't work the way you want it to work. It doesn't have necessarily the answers at all times that people expect, the vision that they feel that the reality should have. And I think that they reach for things to try to fill those holes in their own lives so that they can feel better about a situation and have explanation, when truthfully, it's just the idea that, like, okay, there were some pictures that I saw in Imgur the other day, imgur.com. It's a very popular image-based website and stuff like that. You know, stuff gets viral on there and stuff like that. Well, one of the things was the moment after picture. And what it was a ton of situations where it was the picture first taken the minute after an assassination or an attempt on somebody's life. The first picture.
And there was like the presidential motorcade with Kennedy. There was a few things with Russia and things like that.
Right.
As well as there was this one that was very interesting. It was, I think, South Korea or Japan. It was one of the two. Uh-huh. And it was the prime minister was assassinated live on stage. And the picture is the moment of, that's what they call it, the moment of picture. And it's the picture of the guy. He's got a ninja sword, a samurai sword, literally pulled back. And he's getting ready to stab the prime minister, which he eventually did and killed him.
Right.
But it's the picture of it pulled back as he's getting ready to stab forward and kill the prime minister. Now, at no point in the prime minister's life did he ever think in 1970s when this happened,
right,
that there was going to be a situation where a gun wasn't used to kill him. It was going to be a samurai sword. Specifically. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that there were people like that went around going, oh, well, it's obvious he used the samurai sword to mean this as opposed to the gun to mean that. And it's like, no, I think he just chose the samurai sword because he wanted to use the samurai sword to kill somebody. That's literally what it comes down to.
Right.
He could have been proximity. Like, I think that people just reach for answers. They want answers to things that they just can't explain because they're at a magnitude that they don't understand. And I think that that's what you get with Sandy Hook. It's very hard to understand the idea of a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid walking into a school with a machine gun or a gun of any sort and just blowing away five-year-olds. Like, that's a very big thing. Like, that's something that you're like, oh, is that a movie? What are you talking about? Is that a movie that happened? Like, what movie is that? And people are like, no, that's what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut. A guy walked in, he was 18 years old, he walked in, or 19 years old, whatever, and he just started blowing away five-year-old kids and a teacher and a few other people. Like, that's hard to understand. That's hard to grasp that an innocent five-year-old would have earned that kind of a death. They haven't had their first kiss. They start starting to learn about Santa Claus and birthdays and life in general. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're never going to go to prom or get married. They're never going to see their parents again. Like, that's something they're thinking. All they're thinking about is, oh, something weird's going on, and the teacher's asking us to all get under our desks or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not thinking, oh, it's a gunman, and the gunman's coming in, and we have to be prepared for this. Oh, my God. Like, that's not what they're thinking. Like, they're five. But so, like, it's hard to grasp that, Bobby. I understand. Like, it hurts you because you have young children. You can't imagine Jordan or Cece being in school at 5 years old, 2 years from now.
Right.
And literally, you get a call that some dude just walked in and killed 13 kids in her class, including her. Like, that would blow your mind. That would just drop you. And if that happened to you, would you sit there and go, well, it's obvious the government. It's obvious. No, the only thing that would be running through your mind is, oh, my God, my life just changed. Oh, my God, my life is over.
Yeah.
My wife, my kids, my daughter is dead. Like it would just blow your mind. You wouldn't be thinking about conspiracy theories and how they're trying to screw the government over. And this is obviously Chris Christie or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton's way of trying to just start up another gun control discussion. Like, people are not that grotesquely mean. The ones that are do those things, but the people that you're trying to accuse of doing those things, that's just not who they are. That's kind of like the Tea Party argument for, we live in this society of socialism and Barack Obama's a tyrannical dictator and he's just like taking us down the wrong path and he's just trying to control us with police state force and military style control and this, that, and the other. And that's what they tell themselves every day, all day long. And they're doomsday preppers and they're prepping for it because the government's going to come take their guns and try to take their lives out and all this.
Right.
And come Inauguration Day 2017, Barack Obama's just going to step down. He's not going to have the army there holding guns on everybody going, well, you elected that guy, but guess what? I am a tyrannical dictator. I am taking all this over and you guys have to deal with me for the next 35 years straight against your will. Because that's what does happen in real dictatorships in countries where that happens.
Right.
Like Muammar Gaddafi literally did that. They coup the government. It's a government coup. They go in, they take over the government, and then they stay in power with force and machine guns for like 40 years. Like, that's how it works. That's not going to happen here. Like, it just won't happen. Like, and if it did happen, there's too many people that would just start shooting. Like, we are not that society here in the United States. So when a Sandy Hook happens, it's just a sad, unanswerable situation where bad things happen. And it shouldn't have happened. And it's not, oh, well, these guys don't know how to park their ambulances. And, oh, it's also, does it matter if it was single-shot guns? Does it matter if the medical examiner was like, oh, those were all long-barrel single-shot guns and blah, 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 blah. Does that matter? No. Like, 15 kids are dead anyway.
Right, but there's I'll agree to disagree, but there's a lot of missing aspects to it, and there's a lot of contradicting information. And that's where I get my conspiracy from, is there's a lot of stuff that has been said, a lot of reports, the new 911
right,
calls.
But the problem is that you're basing that off secondhand. None of that, like, you don't have the actual medical reports in front of you, and you weren't there on the scene the day of. So that you're just hearing that this person, who might actually have the same thought processes as you, they just might be super pro-gun people, you know what I'm right. saying, that are trying to, like, spin the situation to make it seem like they can answer the question in their head when they're just as lost as you and me, and they have no clue. And they weren't there that day either. But they just, they know this guy who was there that day, and they know that guy, and they saw the medical report, and they're like, oh, well, it's obvious. I know what the deal is. No, they don't. They
it's
don't
a very
know
big them. Possibility.
All right. I want to move forward. Pitchfork.com, along with a bunch of other websites, have decided to release their best albums of 2013. And I have looked at a ton of these.
Was One Direction on there?
No. But I have looked at a ton of these, and I am completely blown away by... The one thing that I've noticed is Random Access Memories, which is the Daft Punk album, is on the second most amount of lists. The most amount of lists is Yeezus by Kanye West.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, Pitchfork is actually really weird in this situation because they gave Yeezus by Kanye West a higher physical review on their scale of 1 to 10 than the album that they named number one. What? Think about that. Yes.
How does that make sense?
Yeah, they gave a higher review to this album here, and the one that got number one, Vampire Weekend, was actually 2 points lower. And they still named it the number one album of the year.
That's weird.
That's my point. Like, that doesn't make sense at all. So I've decided to put together my list, which I think is a little bit more authentic.
Okay.
And Bobby, I'd like to hear your opinion. Maybe you know some of these, maybe you don't. I would say that the number 10 album of the year is Janelle Monáe, The Electric Lady. She's the girl who sings in the We Are Young song with Fun.
I'm not a huge fan of Janelle Monáe, so I would not put her at number 10. Actually, I would put number 10 would probably be the Luke Bryan song.
All right. I just want to go through these real quick because we ain't got much time.
Okay.
Run the Jewels. The album's called Run the Jewels. That's number 9. Number 8 is Haim. Days Are Gone. Very good album. I would recommend everybody go check that out. Spelled Haim, H-A-I-M, but it's Haim. Number 7, Chance the Rapper, Acid Rap. He was just in St. Louis recently. Really good album. Number 6, Lord, with Pure Heroin in the song Royals on that. That's a really good album, too. Obviously, very popular song this year, too.
Yeah.
Number 5, Earl Sweatshirt with the album Doris. Earl's one of the guys from that whole Odd Future camp.
Oh, okay, okay.
Tyler, the Creator and all them. Really good album. Very, very well done on the hip-hop side. Number 4 for me is Kanye's Yeezus album, which was an extremely talented album. It had a lot of hits off of it.
Uh-huh.
Number 3 is Miley Cyrus, Bangers.
Yes.
I would think that Miley Cyrus had a huge 2013, and that album had a few hits off of it. Wrecking Ball, as well as my Jays. Jays on My Feet.
Oh, yeah, 23.
23, and, all that.
Can't Stop.
Can't Stop. Big album for her, and big one for her career. Number 2, Vampire Weekend. I would give it to Vampire Weekend. Modern Vampires of the City, very good. Even though I'm not a big Vampire Weekend fan, I'm not a huge fan of their style of music. A ton of people really, really like that album. I listened to the album, and it was palatable. I could deal with it better than their other albums, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And number 1 for me is Daft Punk, Random Access Memories. And the reason I choose Daft Punk at number 1 is very simple. It's a very accessible album. You can be a 19-year-old guy and dance and sing along to Get Lucky. You can be a 55-year-old divorced woman and sing along to Get Lucky. The music has a very disco-y feel, a dancey feel. It's very accessible. It got a ton of airplay this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was one of the better albums of the last decade, actually. So I'm going to give number 1 to Daft Punk, Random Access Memories. So what do you got there for me, buddy? Oh, yeah. That's it. Get Lucky. That's how we should do it. I want everybody to get lucky. That's a good song, man.
It's a great mesh with Daft and Pharrell.
Fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that we ended here because it's time for us to get out of here on the show.
Yep.
And I want to first off thank Bolt Brady as well as Jordan Grace.
yeah.
who wrestle with Anarchy Wrestling and a few other local promotions from Austin, Texas. Thank you so much for them coming on. Their Game On, Game Offs were great.
Absolutely. Thanks to the guys down at All Skate.
Yes, All Skate was awesome to us, and we really appreciate them. Also, don't forget, we're going to do a little overtime here as soon as the music's done playing. Just stick around, and we are going to be, and that's only for the online downloads. You got to wait till the show's up online. If you're listening live on the radio, we got Dynamo Pro Wrestling coming up January 4th. I am the executive director at Dynamo Pro Wrestling, so we got a big card lined up at the Stratford Inn on January
4th. Can't wait, man.
In Fenton, Missouri. So if you get a chance, check that out. Also, don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Bland, as well as at The Q Now. We live tweet throughout the shows. And Bobby at CC Papa, SISIPOPPA, on the Twitters. And you can find him on Facebook, too. So that's going to do it for us.
Really call it a day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been The Cue for this week. Thank you so much. We will see you guys next time on the show.
What is this I'm feeling? If you want to leave, I'm with it.
Time for show 150. We appreciate you guys sticking around to listen to the show. A little Limp Bizkit to start the show off with. It got Bobby hype, boy.
Dude, I just
Bobby
went
was
crazy.
Like, he went nuts in here, man, on that wow. Urban Assault, bro. I'm telling you, man, love Limp Bizkit. A lot of people give those guys crap, but I don't have a problem with Limp Bizkit. I think the Bizkit is cool with me, man.
The only member of the original Limp Bizkit that's not there anymore is DJ Lethal.
Yeah, he is not.
They had a big falling out because Fred and Wes, who got themselves clean, went to Lethal and John Otto and were like, oh, John's the original member too. But went to Lethal and Otto and was like, look, you guys need to clean up, dude. We're trying to be clean. We want to do this music right now. Clean it up. And Lethal was like, peace out.
Oh, wow.
Go to hell.
Nice.
So.
Well, hey, I want to talk about something that... going to keep us on this. Well, you got some stories you want to talk about too, but I got one I want to talk about
yeah.
right off the bat real quick. Something I didn't get to talk about because we had Bolton Jordan in here earlier.
Sure.
Your alma mater had an issue.
We did.
McClure High School student was arrested after he allegedly brought a gun to class this past Wednesday. Police say the 15-year-old suspect told a student he had a 9mm handgun in his backpack. The student then told a school resource officer. Authorities say the officer approached the student who handed the gun over. The student was taken into custody and charged with unlawful use of a weapon. The suspect has not been identified because he is a juvenile. Additional details were not immediately available, but the district did send a letter out to parents to let them learn about this. And the reason I brought this up is because, ladies and gentlemen, I think that this is the opposite of a Sandy Hook situation. Okay? We have a constitution in the United States of America. And I respect our constitution. You know, I don't have it in my pocket. Don't have it in my pocket. I ain't got it anywhere in my pocket.
Oh, cut my finger off.
Oh, cut my finger. Oh, the Constitution's in my pocket. We don't have that. But I will say this, that I understand the point of the Bill of Rights. I understand the point of the Constitution. I understand why certain laws were put into place and for what reasons. Now, here's a kid. Now, this is the truth. There's two aspects to this, okay?
Okay.
There's what we want, and this is what the truth is, okay? Now, the law says you cannot, first off, legally own a handgun at that age.
Correct.
So, and public places like schools and stuff like that, you cannot bring handguns into those places or guns in general.
Correct.
So, by law, this individual is definitely on the wrong.
Correct.
He is in the wrong. Yet, you have a stance. Look, conservatives out there, I understand the common sense aspect of this. But here is your chance to argue the value of the Second Amendment because, in this case, he is a United States citizen.
Yep.
He has a gun on his persons. Now, you don't necessarily have to have guns registered in all states. It's not necessary.
Some states don't have those rules. You can own guns or have them on your persons.
Without actually registering.
Without actually registering them. You can actually have one in St. Louis or Missouri, if I'm correct. You can own a gun. If you go to buy it, you have to run through all the checks. But you can have a gun and own it. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be, I'm not sure about that. I'm not 100% sure, but.
When I purchased my firearm, I had to have it registered.
And you can open carry.
You can open carry anywhere.
Right. You can open carry wherever you would like. So my thing on this is that if there was the opportunity, and I'm playing devil's advocate completely, but if there was an opportunity for you conservatives out there to jump up and down and talk about the right to bear arms and someone taking away somebody's Second Amendment right, here's that opportunity. Now, common sense side and law side says he can't do that. Like, we get that. We understand it. But do you not see the ludicrousness of what I just said to you? Like, the truth is you can argue the Second Amendment, and it stands on this case. He is a United States citizen. He does have the right to bear arms, and there was him bearing arms and not using it in an illegal manner in any way whatsoever. It was just in his backpack. And my point is that it sounds ludicrous to hear my moderate self say to you, well, the Second Amendment should protect this kid, and you're sitting there as a conservative going, but the common sense in me says that that's not true. That's how ludicrous you guys sound 99% of the time on these discussions about everything with the Constitution, because your laws, because back then, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have laws in place the way we do now. The Constitution was the laws.
Right.
And as time moved on, we created more and better detailed laws to flush things out.
Correct.
But you want to argue the constitutional basis 99% of the time, yet the constitutional basis only applied and was only useful back in the 1700s.
Correct, because word for word, the actual Second Amendment says starts a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
And that's my point. Like, your arguments, because your common sense tells you this. So you go, well, that Mark Bland, moderate liberal guy, he's just an idiot. Listen to him. He's saying it's okay to carry guns into schools and stuff like that. That's the problem with them liberals. Yet you're the first ones to sit there and go, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. And I just proved to you that the Second Amendment totally applies on this situation. Yet the laws dictate otherwise. So you sound ridiculous when we talk about other things.
Right.
And I don't understand how you don't see that there's this constant pounding fist fight between the Constitution and the laws that currently stand in our nation. Now, some of those laws that are in the Constitution are subsidiaries of other laws that we have currently.
Right.
But here's a case where those two things completely are clashing. And you can actually, for the first time, argue legally that the Constitution is being infringed. That his right to carry an arm was being infringed.
Right.
You can. You can legally argue that and get away with it, because it technically is the case. This isn't a shooting situation or murder situation or anything like that. This is just a carry situation. Now, it was concealed. But then again, that conceal and carry, those are newer laws that have been put into place over the last 50 years. Those are not ancient laws that were in the Constitution. There's no age restriction in the Constitution. In the Constitution, it does not say, oh, by the way, if you're 18 or under, you can't do it.
And technically, the people that wrote the Constitution, their average lifespan was 35.
Yeah, guys.
So this kid is middle age.
You people don't understand like what we're talking about here. And this that wasn't every person back then. But quite a few individuals back at the time that the Constitution were written, and a lot of those people that were on the Constitution, they weren't very old at all.
No.
Most of those guys were really young.
Thomas Jefferson, I think, was in his mid to late 20s.
Right. That's my point. Like, you guys need to understand the mindset of the individuals writing these things, although those are great words, and we respect them, and we revere them, and I abide by those things. I appreciate that. That's a great part of our country's history, and I respect that. This is also coming from people that were, some of those people were 24 years old. Right. Think about yourself when you were 24 years old and the things that went through your mind.
And also, some of these people at the time were just trying to make sure that the mother country of England was not going to come over in the middle of the night and kill everybody because of the fact that they were revolting against them.
Right. It was a scary time period, and they had to deal with what they had to deal with at the time period. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. I think that that's a very unique aspect of something in our society that just happened recently. So,
and it
Bobby, what,
right
do you,
here.
What do you got?
All right, so
stuff to talk to me about.
So I wanted to tell you because, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about Walmart and McDonald's and, you know, how much their companies make. Walmart and McDonald's, basically, if they wanted to, they could put the whole U.S. on loan, and we could call this the United States of McDonald's and Walmart because they have that much money. But I have the list of the, I guess you could say, the top 10 companies that pay the American people the least amount of money. You know, with the holidays coming up, most people got jobs for the holiday season. After the holiday season, you should probably maybe not look into these companies for a job. So
fair enough. Let me hear what we got on here.
Number 10 is the Starbucks company.
They don't pay their employees good.
They don't pay their companies enough, or their employees enough. Their entire U.S. workforce is $120,000 or 120,000 people, but their CEO makes on average $28.9 million a year.
Now, then again, he started the company. Of course, he's going to reap the rewards and the benefits of starting his company and stuff. But does it tell you what the average
is worker? Less than $9 an hour.
Wow. Okay, but everybody loves Starbucks.
Yep.
Everybody loves it. $19, 20-ounce drinks.
The next company at number 9 is TJX. If you don't know who this is, that's on the New York Stock Exchange, TJX. Those are the people that own Marshalls, TJ Maxx, and Home Goods.
Okay, fair enough.
They have an estimated workforce of 138,000 people. Their average salary, $8.
Really? Okay, so, but okay, retail seems like that there's going to be a lot of retail. It seems like retail is going to be a popular thing. Go on. Move on.
Yeah, because number 8 is Macy's with 175,000 people. Their average dollar per hour, $9.
Okay.
Number 7 is a company called Darden Restaurants. That is the company that owns Olive Garden and Red Lobster.
I have a brother-in-law who works for Darden. He's a general manager, actually.
The workforce is 203,000 people on average, with making less than $10 an hour. Number 6, Sears, with the average person making less than $7.35.
Wow.
That's the minimum wage here in Missouri.
That's crazy that Sears, as big as it is with as many employees as it has, that the average salary is $7.35 an hour.
The next one, it doesn't say the average salary, but it's the Yum Brands.
Okay, that would be like a Pepsi, Taco Bell, all them.
Yep, Taco Bell, KFC. But yeah, number 5 is the Yum Brands. Number 6, I was very surprised by this because we saw this on our trip to DeCoin, Kroger's.
Really? Kroger's? No. We were blown away by the fact that Kroger's actually still had existed. Some spot. Well, no, not that they still existed. I know that they have them, but I was just amazed that they still had a store within range of St. Louis.
$8 an hour.
Wow.
Number 3, Target, with their people making less than $9 an hour.
Okay.
Ready for number 2 and number 1?
Yep.
McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
At number 2, they're just barely over $9 an hour.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, remember, they're letting everybody know how they can pinch those pennies for the holiday season. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Listen, you don't have to eat 3 meals a day. You can only eat 2. And make them stretch out a little longer. You know what I'm saying? That's how you can make that dollar go a little farther. That's the McDonald's way.
And number okay. 1?
Number 1.
Walmart.
Walmart makes total sense. Well, have you ever seen the documentary, The High Cost of Low Prices?
No.
You need to game on.
Game on.
The High Cost of Low Prices, the Walmart story. Because
okay.
let me tell you something. It is an expose about Walmart and how they treat and pay their employees. And it is fantastic. Like, it is Michael Moore-esque. Fantastic. Like, at that level. Like, it
awesome.
Is really deep, and it gets in there, and it really, like, flushes it out great.
Wow. Roughly $10 an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, we have a lot of things that we here in the States are very, you know, blessed to have. You know, we have all these major companies.
True.
Well, a lot of companies are failing, though.
Okay.
So a lot of these companies are going to be falling, and these are just 5 of the big name companies that you probably will not see after the fiscal year 2014.
Really? So in 2014, these companies will no longer probably exist.
Correct.
We will have to come back at the end of 2014 and revisit this list.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'm probably not. We'll just this will be a sound clip way down the road that we forgot about, but.
Let's see who you got.
One of the major companies, JCPenney.
JCPenney's? Well, you know, JCPenney's has been slowly falling off for about 15 years.
They had to get a $2.2 billion loan from Goldman Sachs this past year.
Yeah, that's probably going to fail heavily.
Yep. The next one is, you know, we all have cameras on our phones and everything, but they say that Canon, Sony, and Nikon will survive, but the oldest of the brands, Olympus.
Gone.
Will be gone.
Interesting.
Yep. And Olympus now only... Olympus used to be a, like, 42% shareholder in the whole camera business. They only owned 7% of the stock.
Well, you know, I think a lot of those companies just, they weren't on the cell phone kick. Like, they didn't jump in on the front end of that, and, like, these other companies just developed cameras.
Right.
Like, Logitech, which is a computer company...
Correct.
...has been developing webcams and cameras...
Right.
...for computer use for years now.
Right,
and right. They're going to be able to turn around and say, well, we're a computer company. Cell phone's basically just a pocket computer. We already do this really well. Why wouldn't you use us?
Right.
Like, that Absolutely. Just seems like an easy sell point. Plus, all those guys know each other.
Yeah. The next one would be the Martha Stewart Living magazine.
That might need to go away anyway. That might just need to just... take a jump.
The revenue from Martha Stewart's Living magazine at the end of 2012 fell from $179 million to $122, and they used to have the Everyday Food magazine, which they decided to cancel after the December 2012 issue. But the biggest reason is they partner with JCPenney.
Oh, so when JCPenney's goes, they go.
Yep. Have you ever heard of a website called Living Social?
Yes, Living Social is like, well, what's the other one that's real popular?
Groupon.
Groupon, yeah. It's basically one of these, hey, we've got a way to get more people to your business. You offer them a really great deal. They sell you on it. And then whether you actually get more people back to your business or not,
right.
They still made their money.
Well, both of these companies launched in 2010, both Groupon and Living Social. But Living Social is failing very badly with a trading value of only $2.
Really?
Yes. So,
I wonder if that's one of those companies, though, because it's so low and somebody just comes in, sweeps in, buys it up, and then turns it into something super huge.
More than likely, people are thinking that it's going to be either Amazon or eBay that's really? Going to come in and pick them up.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? They're just going to liquidate and they're going to write it off.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens with those companies like that.
And the very last one is Mitsubishi Motors.
The motor company?
Yep. Mitsubishi Motors is
no more eclipses for little 19-year-old college girls?
Yeah. Mitsubishi Motors will more than likely probably leave the American market at least at the end of the 2014 year, doing and taking advice from its Japanese counterpart, Suzuki.
Well, you know, we've just dropped the ball heavily in the United States when it comes to cars. I'm sorry. We just really have. You know, in 2008 when we had the crash, there was a ton of... Because, first off, gas prices went up to $4 a gallon that summer.
Right.
Hardcore.
Right.
And they just stay there for a while.
Uh-huh.
And people just stopped driving. People stopped buying SUVs.
Right.
And then these companies crashed because the economics right. crashed. And so they turned around, they got their bailouts for, like, you know, and basically they were told, hey, listen, you guys just got tons of SUVs that you're charging way too much sitting on these lots. And they're like, well, we can't sell them. Nobody's wanting to buy them because they're gas guzzlers.
Right.
And they've been telling them for years, EPA standards and all this, you need to get your gas mileage up higher.
Correct.
Like, you need to get up to, like, the 45, 50 miles per gallon range, which is extremely possible.
Yeah.
And they've actually have companies in the United States that with regular gasoline that you put in your car every single day have found ways with certain types of engines to get 100 miles per gallon out of those engines.
Wow.
Like, literally out of those gallons of gas. And so they've been knowing this for years, but they just hold back. They just hold back and they're like, oh, well, we're going to get our stuff together. We're going to get together. So then the economy fails. They lose their money. They get their bailouts. They pay their bailouts back. And before you know it, nope. You still have to pay more for a hybrid. They still offer mainly gasoline-based engines. You can get a hybrid if you want to. Guys, there should be nothing but hybrids on every lot. It should be just nothing but hybrids. It should cost more for the gasoline guzzler. Literally.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I've seen those Tahoe hybrids. They look just like the regular gasoline-guzzling Tahoe. And they get way better gas mileage, and they're just as sleek and stylish and good-looking. There's no reason why. And they go just as fast.
Escapes?
You don't need to have the gasoline guzzler. Right. I get it. It's just this American, we got to do it. We just got to do what we got to do. Type thing. What do you got over there? You keep looking at your screen over there. What are you looking at?
I was just pulling a song out for us.
What kind of song is it?
DMX.
Oh. Is that what we're going to finish out with today?
Whenever we leave. One last story. We didn't get to BNN real quick, but a teacher is in trouble in New Jersey because of the fact that another student filmed him yelling at a special education student.
Okay.
Telling him that he is a piece of shit and will never amount to anything in his life.
That's horrible. Why would you do that? What's the point? The kid's already disabled, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason to actually take it a step further and just kick him while he's down type thing.
Yeah.
And it's a kid. It's a teacher doing that to a kid.
Special education, like, I think the kid was 13 years old.
Oh, that's ridiculous, dude. That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. I don't agree with that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time for us to get out of here on The Q Overtime. I appreciate every single one of you guys listening. Make sure you check us out at theqnow.com. Follow us on Twitter as well as Facebook. All of our social media buttons are right there. Check out the video of the Mike Barcells race against me down at Allskate. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. My name is Mark Bland.
Producer Bobby.
And we will see you guys next time on the show.
If I got to bring it to you, coward, then it's going to be quick. All your men have been in jail before, suck my dick. And all the muffled cats you run with, get done with, dumb quick. How the fuck you going, poke the dog, or some bum shit, then go to gun click.